Father God, we praise you this day. We thank you. We thank you for the word that we can look at. We thank you for the advice that's in the guidebook. We thank you for the correction that's there, for the encouragement that's there, and for all the things that are there just to help us look like you, be like you, because we are called to be your children, and we are to look like our Father. To that end, we ask that you bless this word to our receiving and to our understanding, that we would become holy because you who have called us happens to be holy. And we praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we can be better than we are in Jesus. Amen. Well, you've been called to be holy. And some people react to that because they say, who wants to be holy? All you get from being holy is some wisecracks from friends and peer group members. And there are a lot of people that just don't want to be holy because of the flack that they're going to get. And yet the scripture says in Ephesians 5:18, and I'd like for you to turn there if you will, that we are to be just that. It's on page 263 in the New Testament if you're using the Pew Bibles. And this is our duty. It is a duty as a Christian. And I assume that all of you are Christians this day. If you're not, you can become a Christian while I'm even talking, just by accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you. In Ephesians 5:18 it says, do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, the idea is that we can be filled with the Spirit. It's a duty, and that's our subject. Your duty is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if you couldn't be filled with the Spirit, God would not say, be filled with the Spirit, would he? So it's something that you can do because he has asked you to do. Now, the purpose of this message is that you might become aware of the fact that when you get persecutions from the world at school or at home or where you work, it's not going to take you and sweep you off your feet. You're not going to say, oh, how come I had this? Why wasn't I told of this? You would know what you're going to get, the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. I want to suggest to you just some consequences that you're going to get by being filled with the Spirit from man, and what you're going to get from God if you are filled with the Spirit. Now, the scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. How can one be filled with the Spirit if they never go to the fountain? How could they receive something from someone if they never associate with that person or spend time with that person? Now, we're talking about Jesus. He is the fountain of life. He is the source of it all. And so if we're to be filled with the Spirit, then we're going to have to spend some time with him to draw from him. Be filled with the Spirit. And it's just like the analogy of our body. We are body, we are soul, we are spirit. We are three parts. If we are to grow in our body and soul, then we're going to have to participate in three very important things. We've got to have food, we've got to have rest, and we have to have exercise. That's how you develop your body. Food, rest, and exercise. If you're going to grow your spirit up, you have likewise to have food, rest, and exercise. Food, which is the Word of God, which we're told to eat. Rest, we rest ourselves in the Lord. We still ourselves in His presence. And we exercise. We exercise our faith. We exercise our belief in what we know to be true. So our guilt is great if we're not filled with the Spirit. And it is just as great as the authority of God is great. God's authority says, be filled with the Spirit. And if we don't do that, our guilt is just as great as the authority of God is great. Now let's look at some of the consequences that you're going to get or receive if you're filled with the Spirit. To begin with, you're going to be called odd. Odd. You're going to be called odd. You're going to be called eccentric. I looked up eccentric this past week, and this is what I found out, and I am so glad that I can be eccentric for Jesus. It says a deviation from the stated methods. That's what eccentric is. It's a deviation from usual practices. It's a deviation, a pulling away or off the beaten path from established forms. So I would like to be called an eccentric person for Jesus, or an odd person. Eccentric is a circle not having the same center. And we don't have the same center, do we? Our center is Jesus. And that is not the center of the world. The world doesn't have Jesus as a center. Therefore, we are odd. We are eccentric. We are unlike other people. We act under different influences, don't we? Therefore, this is something you're going to receive if you're filled with the Spirit. And the more you are filled with the Spirit, the greater the persecution is going to be by people saying, hey, you are just, you've had it. You're odd. In fact, the second thing is you're going to be thought insane. Mad. A person told me that once. They said, you're mad. Don't think I'm mad. No, I'm not mad. Actually, that person was the mad person. But that's what they said about Paul in Acts 26. He was before the king, and those very words were used, Acts 26, 24, and 25, where it says, Do you believe the prophets? Paul is talking. I know that you do. And Agrippa said to Paul, you know, in all of this short time, do you think you'll make me a Christian? And then he goes on to say, I think that all of your learning has made you mad. I think you have gone mad because you're following Jesus. You're mad, Paul. Your great learning is driving you mad. And so people will say you're mad. But that's okay too. They said Jesus was mad. The third thing is you're going to get opposition. And you might just as well make up your mind right now that if you're going to be a Christian, a practicing Christian, a vocal practicing Christian, you are going to get persecution. You're going to get it at home sometimes. You're going to get it where you work. You're going to get it at school. Jesus got it. So make up your mind that you will get persecuted if you are a Christian. Luke put it like this. He says, and this man knew what he was talking about, and he was quoting Jesus, and Jesus certainly knew what he was talking about. Happy are you when people hate you. This is what's going to happen if you're filled with the Spirit. Happy are you when people reject you, when they insult you, and when they say you are evil, all because of the Son of Man. Be glad when this happens. Dance for joy, because a great reward is kept for you in heaven. Their ancestors did the very same things to the prophet. So when you are insulted and rejected, and people say that you're evil, then it says that we're supposed to do what? We are to be happy. We are to be glad if this happens. And we are to dance for joy. So someone comes up to you and says, you are a crackpot. You're just stupid. You're crazy. And they start opposing you and persecuting you, you are to dance for joy. All right, all right. Okay, it's all right. It's all right. I'll be happy. I'll be happy. The other thing is to just sort of shrink down and say, well, maybe I don't really know what I'm talking about after all. And then you are with them. But don't you take your stance and you receive your persecution just like Jesus received his persecution. Didn't flinch. There will be opposition. And it says here, you're going to be insulted, and they're going to reject you. And you know, you may not have many friends if you are really a professing Christian. But you'll have the greatest friend, and that's Jesus. And he'll never leave you like your friends will. Happy are you when people hate you and reject you and insult you, because they did that to the prophets. In 1 Kings 18, it talks about the prophets. They had to go and hide because people were persecuting them. And it says the same thing in 2 Chronicles. Let me read that scripture to you. It has to do with the prophets being persecuted. It says, the Spirit of God took control of Zechariah, the son of Josiah, the priest. He stood where the people could see him, and he called out. The Lord God asked, why have you disobeyed his commandments and are bringing disaster on yourselves? And this is what the prophet is saying to the people. He is saying, you abandon him, so he has abandoned you. And so the king gave order to get this Zechariah, persecute him, and stone him, the idea that he could be speaking to the people these words. So it's nothing new. It's nothing new. And Jesus knew it would not be new, and so listen to what his word says. If you want to turn to John 16, you can. It's in John 16, and it's in verse 3. To back up in verse 1, it says, I've told you this so that you'll not give up your faith. In other words, my message is your duty to be filled with the Spirit, and what you're going to get from mankind is opposition, persecution. And so Jesus said, I have told you this, that you will not give up your faith. You will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time will come when anyone who kills you will think that by doing this, he is serving God. People will do these things to you because they have not known neither the Father or me. But I have told you this so that when the time comes for them to do these things, you will remember what I told you. And then in the preceding chapter, chapter 15, verse 20, he says, remember what I told you, no slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they obeyed my teachings, they will obey yours too. But they will do all this to you because you are mine, for they do not know the one who sent me. So Jesus is putting down the pavement for us. He says, they persecuted me, so if you call yourself by my name, then you're going to be persecuted too. So when it happens, don't get all bombed out and say, oh, why is it happening to me? Jesus says, I'm telling you now. So when it happens, you'll not be taken off guard. You'll be called odd, you'll be called mad, you'll have much opposition, and then there'll be a lot of lack of understanding among your peers, a lot of misunderstanding, I should say, lack of understanding. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. And we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Such a person really does not understand them. They are nonsense to him because their value can be judged only on a spiritual basis. So when we are filled with the Spirit, we as a spirit man or as a spirit woman will have a discernment of truths that the natural man is blind to. You will be able to see things and understand things that the natural person in this city is not going to understand. And that is why the natural person, the carnal person in this city, is just going to have their mind blown away when you take a stand for Jesus. And it says in another translation, you'll not be judged. That is, when you discern your feelings, your principles, your views, your hopes, they cannot be understood by the natural person, the sensual person. They just won't understand it. So this is something you can write down in your book that you will receive if you're filled with the Spirit, a lack of understanding. And then the last thing you're going to receive is a great, great opposition from Satan. You're going to have agonizing conflicts over Satan. Satan is not bothered by the person who just is a normal Christian. I believe in Jesus and that is it. But he is greatly affected by the person who will take their stance against opposition. He is greatly affected by a person who says, hey, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's not going to leave me. And that person that is firmly standing upon Jesus is a great threat to Satan. But he has very little problem with those Christians who are not spiritual, lukewarm, slothful, worldly-minded. But if you are filled with the Spirit, you can rest assured, people, that you are going to receive some terrible conflicts from Satan. He is going to bombard your mind. He is going to make you think that you're mad. He is going to come against you with blasphemous thoughts. Some people who are filled with the Spirit even have thoughts that there is no God. You know, the temptation of atheism. Suggestions to do wickedness. Even destroy your life. These things will come to you from Satan. You will be amid great agonizing conflicts. You'll be in the arena. You'll be in the arena. But praise God, there is the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. thank God that we know that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And so Paul says, for what our human nature wants is opposite to what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is opposite to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies. And this means, he says, that you cannot do what you want to. If the Spirit leads you, then you're not subject to the law. What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God, but the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. Those who belong to Jesus have put to death their human nature with all its passions and desires. The Spirit has given us life. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be tormented by Satan against these things, but we have the victory because the Spirit of which we are filled with gives us life. And this life is abundant that Jesus has for us. So in the agonizing conflict with Satan, you don't have to see him as a person coming against you. The very nature that you have is going to oppose you because we have the human nature and we've got the divine nature that is resident in you. So if you're filled with the Spirit, which is our duty, this is what you're going to get. Called odd, thought mad, opposition, persecution. There's going to be a total lack of understanding by people. And then last, you're going to have agonizing conflicts with Satan. So Jesus said, I have told you these things so that when they do happen, you'll not be swept off your feet. Instead, you will say, I knew that was going to happen. I was waiting for that to happen. And then you can rise up above it. Now, we know what we're going to get from man. What do we get from God? Three things. First of all, you are going to get peace. I mean, you're going to have the peace like you've never had before. You're going to know that you who are called will go through trials and conflicts and temptations, and you will groan and pray and weep. Your heart will be broken, but you can remember this consideration that Jesus is going to give you peace. Not the kind of peace that the world gives, but the kind of peace that he gives you. You'll have peace with God, and it will flow like a river because you've gone to the river and you've received that peace. Second thing is you're going to be useful. Just as that ambulance right now is being useful, it's been commissioned to go somewhere to perform a service. It's carrying somebody there. They're going to be useful when they get where they're going. God is asking you to be useful so that he can lead you to go someplace where he wants you to go. You will be useful if you're filled with the Spirit. There was a man who could not do very much as far as in terms of the church was concerned, but he could fold his hands and he could pray to God. And he would do this in the privacy of his own home, did he pray to God. And he would pick out people in the community to pray for. And there was a store owner on the main street who was not a Christian. In fact, he was just the opposite of Christianity. He was foul-mouthed all the time. He would cheat. He would lie. It was a wonder that people even would go to his store, but they would. And he was prayed for by this other person who was a Christian who wanted just to be useful. And the man would keep a diary. And this particular person for whom he prayed often received his prayers, because this guy would shoot his prayer up to heaven and then it would hit heaven's glory and it would reflect back down to that person as God would then send his forces to that person. And out of the blue, the guy just came into church. And people thought the church would fall down because this man has come to church. He came to church. He was saved. He became a great Christian, filled with the Spirit. But he did it because a person was useful, and that person was filled with the Spirit. And that person who was filled with the Spirit would keep a diary. He would say, today I have prayed, I have offered what I call the prayer of faith for the outpouring of the Spirit in the particular church. And I trust in God that there will soon be a revival there. And in his diary, he would keep a list of people that he prayed for. And one day he said, I felt I should pray for those in Ceylon. And so he entered in his diary, and he prayed. And a great revival broke out there, and it came about as this guy on that day was just praying. You know, you don't have to pray a lot of times. You can just pray one time, and God can reward it and answer that prayer. So you'll be useful. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, it says in Psalm 25. And thus this man, who was too feeble even to leave his home often, was able to have more power than most pastors and most laymen, because he stood between God and the desolation of Zion. And he poured out his heart in believing prayer, and God answered it. And as we read in Genesis 32, as a prince, he had power with God and with men, and he prevailed. And you can too, people. You can be useful if you're filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll have peace, you'll be useful. And then the third is this, you'll just have calmness and stillness through the persecution. The storms are coming over you, and people will be astonished that you are so calm. They will be astonished that you're so cheerful under heavy trials. They'll not know the inward support of those who are filled with the Spirit. And they may become worried, and they may speak evil against you. And everything that malice can invent against you can be said, but you know you'll have a calmness and a stillness. And it's just that I know in whom I'm believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me into that day. I just know it. I've got the calmness. And people will say, how can he be so calm? How can she be so calm when all this is being dumped on her? How can they be so calm when all this dumped on them, him? And the answer is, it's inside. It's inside. You've got the inward peace that only God can give you. Now, the world can't give it to you. You can try to get absorbed in the world, but it won't work. Only Jesus can give you that peace. Our duty, it says in Ephesians 5:18, is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a command. So that when you are, if you'll close your eyes, would you just listen right now to these words from Proverbs? As a person who is filled with the Spirit of God, or who wants to be filled, or who is attempting to be more filled, the Lord says, child, learn what I teach you, and never forget what I tell you to do. Listen to what is wise. Try to understand it. Yes, beg for knowledge. Plead for insight. Look for it as hard as you would for silver or some hidden treasure. If you do, you will know what it means to fear the Lord, and you will succeed in learning about God. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for righteous, honest men. He protects those who treat others fairly and guards those who are devoted to him. If you listen to me, God says, you will know what is right and just and fair. You will know what you should do. You will become wise, and your knowledge will give you pleasure. Your insight and understanding will protect you and prevent you from doing the wrong thing. They will keep you away from people who stir up trouble by what they say. Men who have abandoned a righteous life to live in the darkness of sin is what they are. But men who find pleasure in doing wrong and who enjoy senseless evil, unreliable men, or like those who just cannot be trusted. But he says, learn what I teach you and never forget what I tell you. Look for the knowledge of God. Look to be filled with the Spirit just like you would for a hidden treasure. And then you'll know what it means to fear the Lord. And you will succeed in learning about God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the insight that you have given us through the words of Jesus, that all those people who purpose in their heart to live a godly life will suffer persecution. So we'll not think it strange. And Father, if there are those, sound of my voice, who have not stood up for Jesus because of persecution, what will people think? What will they say? May they be so inspired by the Spirit of God as you would fill them upon their request, that they would be brave and they would be bold in the things of the Lord, because this is the only thing that counts. And we would know, Father God, as your children, that wherever we go, we have you with us. And you will guard us and you will protect us. And therefore, we would even have our eyes open to the fact that there are angels around us, and the Lord's army is encamped around us to fight for us. And we would stand up for Jesus. Help us, Father God, to be filled with the Spirit and to take what comes our way just like Jesus did. He laid down his life, and so we would too, if necessary, for Jesus. For a vessel to be filled, then that which is in the vessel must be taken out. We are temples of the Lord. He's asked us to be filled with the Spirit. Therefore, there must be things in us that must come out to make room for the Spirit. And I think each one of you know what I'm talking about. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give those things to you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sin and unrighteousness. And then we ask the Spirit of God just to come in and fill us, Father. Just fill us. Fill us to overflowing, because we've come to the fountain, and the fountain never will grow dry. Would you stand with me, please?